Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Good morning and welcome to the 93rd episode of The Simple Sophisticate. I hope you are enjoying March. I hope it has kicked off well for you and you're looking ahead to the upcoming spring if you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the upcoming fall, a lovely season for my Southern Hemisphere listeners. Many of you in Australia, hello, down under. How are you doing? Hope you're well. And I hope it's going well. And if it's not, I would like to suggest to you today, in today's episode, some ways of making the everyday absolutely amazing every single time you wake up in the morning. And if it is going well, to really hone in on why it's going well. Sometimes we are not really sure why things are running so smoothly. And it's in the knowing that actually empowers us to make sure we continue to have those amazing days again and again and again. So today's episode is titled 15 Everyday Habits to Live a Life of Contentment. And as you know, the logo of the Simply Luxurious Life, the blog, is about refined living on an everyday income. So it's about how to live well every single day. So we're going to be coining the term everydays. We're going to pluralize that term. We're going to make it its own term. The computer was having a fit with me as I was writing today's episode. It did not like that word, but we're going to make it our own word today because it really is about the everydays, how you spend your everydays. So that's the topic of today's episode. But before I dive into those 15 habits, today's petit pleasure is something that is just an element to enhance the everyday habits or rituals that you enjoy in the morning, in the evening, maybe in the afternoon. And it's a very inexpensive thing to include. And I'll show you how I use it in my life, and I'll give you the means to access it should you want to include it in yours. So stay tuned at the end of today's episode when I'll share with you what I'm talking about. But now back to today's episode. I want to start with a quote that I heard yesterday morning on CBS Sunday Morning, one of my favorite weekend news programs, and they were interviewing the singer Meghan Trainor. And as you may know, if you follow music, she won for Best New Artist of the Year this year at the Grammys. And the quote is speaking about Meghan by the journalist. She says, "The best way to conquer self-doubt is to follow your dream and work your bass off," an allusion to her titled song, It's All About the Bass, that is still at the top of the music rankings. But this idea of self-doubt is what caught my attention, this idea of self-doubt. Because as I've been building the blog and going about living my simply luxurious life, I'm always trying to figure out, what is it? How? What are the elements to making the everyday as amazing as those end-of-the-road moments, those reached-your-goal moments? Those are amazing moments. For example, the highs in life that we experience from landing the job we've been coveting for years, or celebrating a hard-earned diploma, or signing the papers on a new house, or reveling in the magic of your wedding day, or finally seeing with your own eyes a previously only dreamed about destination, or holding your first published book in your hands. All of these events are momentous occasions that are all the sweeter due to your persistent effort and investment that you extended to attain that particular dream. That's what makes it amazing, right? Those moments of a euphoria that are cultivated and experienced are hard to describe to those who are still in the midst of their unique journey. They haven't maybe necessarily experienced attaining a long sought after goal. But having had the opportunity to experience a few of these highs, upon reflection, the final destination wouldn't have been as sweet if I had not sincerely wanted what I sought, or if I didn't enjoy the innumerable everydays that paved the way to the end result. In other words, it was the journey, as we always hear, that really is the highs that help us get to that end result. Don't get me wrong, the end result is absolutely amazing, but we can't have those absolutely amazing highs of reaching that goal every single day of our lives. But my question has always been, okay, but wait a second, if that's supposedly the happiness we're seeking, then what do we do in the every days? Are those just days that are so, you know, humdrum? Or are there a lot of happy ways to live those days too? And so I've been thinking about this, and I have to be honest with you, I've probably been thinking about it for 15, 20 years, but I really started to dive into it because, as you guys know, over 7 months ago, I moved to the place I've been wanting to come to for nearly a decade. And the honeymoon phase was amazing. Absolute high. But when the honeymoon phase ended, I was still absolutely ecstatic to be where I was. And that's part of the key to finding your everyday happy mode, as I guess you could call it. And so while we subconsciously know that logistically we can't experience those highs every single day, we can't be in the honeymoon phase all the time, we sometimes, for whatever reason, seem to expect that if we aren't experiencing that ecstatic high, something must be wrong. Something must be wrong with our lives. We must be doing something wrong. We must be going about it the wrong way. And while we probably know that that's not correct, for some reason, that little voice can have its way. And if we don't feel happy as we did on those big momentous occasions, we get in our own way. We become self-critical about the life we're living. We're trying to examine it to fix it as if something's wrong. Such behavior may sound absurd to hear, but the proof is kind of in the pudding. And what I mean by that is our self-help industry in the United States alone makes more than $10 million a year, billion with a B. And those are people that are that's not just one person buying this self-help book and another buying another. That's people buying many different self-help books in all different areas of self-help, obviously. Clearly, a lot of us assume that we need to fix something. And this is not to say that self-improvement is bad, but perhaps we should reevaluate our expectations. After all, this podcast is labeled under the self-help category in iTunes. So don't get me wrong, and I will not stop reading all the different books out there that can offer insight and information and how to improve. That's not what we're getting at here. What we're getting at is, why do we always think something needs to be fixed? And so it's about adjusting our mindset. And that's what we're going to talk about today. While setting, having, and pursuing goals is a worthwhile instrument to achieving a life of contentment, we are mistaken if we think success is measured by the big moments in our lives when such highs are felt upon reaching that sought-after pinnacle. Rather, I argue that success is how we live each day. Success is determined by our everyday approaches to living because we will have far more everydays than we will of the desired end goal celebration days. And if we live the former well, we are cultivating a rich and rewarding life for ourselves. So today we're going to talk about daily habits that we can practice and instill into our everyday lives that will ensure a life full of contentment. Let's get started. Number one, having doubt is okay. Psychologists have pointed out that the presence of self-doubt, a cousin of fear, as I like to call it, is a natural, healthy human emotion. To not have doubt is to not care, to not be invested. much like the quote I began today's episode with about Meghan Trainor, self-doubt being what will help us follow our dreams and reach what we seek or what we desire, doubt can be used much like a compass, pointing us in the direction of our desires and our passions. And when I started to look at this first one really spurred me on recently. And I started to talk to people about it and get some ideas from those that are experts in this field. And for whatever reason, when we feel doubt, we assume that we're the only ones feeling doubt about this particular point in our lives. Like, we're the only ones that are going to be unsure about which direction to go, where to invest our money, or who to begin a relationship with. We're the only ones experiencing that. And so we think that doubt is a bad thing, but it's not. But it's not. If we have, along our journey, been listening to our gut, making the best decisions possible based on the information we have at the time, our doubt really can be that compass. It really can be. And I think that's something to hopefully ease your mind. I know it eased mine when I started to grapple. And it's a seemingly simple concept, but it's just something that, for whatever reason, when we're not sure about something, we can be very self-critical. And it's important to know we are human, and therefore to feel doubt is human. And often it's a sign that we are pursuing the path that will lead us to what it is we seek, that we truly seek, even if we don't really know for sure, we can't pinpoint what it is. So number one is having doubt is okay. Get into that habit. Just accept that every day. As long as you're not frozen by doubt, that's the key. Do not let doubt freeze you. It's normal to be doubtful. Keep asking questions. Keep striving forward. If you stumble, stumble forward. You get the idea. Number two is be in pursuit of passion that gives you purpose. Upon discovering our deeper nature, we discover our strengths, and those strengths will help lead us each to our purpose. It is the marriage of pleasure and purpose that enables us to get lost in the everyday work because we are in love with what we are doing that will heighten the everyday and lead to the culmination of reaching our goal. And we've talked about this a few times last month and in January, and I'll provide links to those previous podcast episodes about the difference between strength and skills and how strengths, once we understand what our strengths are, really are a key to that everyday enjoyment of whatever it is we choose to do. So number two is be in pursuit of passion that gives you purpose. Number three is tend to your health. In order to tend to our health, we must know what having good health requires. In other words, understanding how our body works, what it needs, and how we can fuel it and care for it properly. Having read the book, How Not to Die, I know that sounds morbid, but it is a fantastic book. In fact, when I posted a picture of it on my Instagram feed, many of the readers pointed out they were either curious about the book or had read it and highly recommended it. And now I know why. It is a wealthy resource cataloging every illness, ailment, and question you might have about how to reduce the chance of acquiring any particular cancer, eliminating the risk of heart disease, and the list goes on and on. You can quickly determine what to eat, how much to exercise, and how it all plays a helping hand in improving your overall health. So it's based on studies and science and all sorts of things, but you can look just specifically at whatever one particular health concern you have and go right to that. It's, like I said, it is very much a resource guide, and I highly recommend you pick it up. I know I picked it up and went right to a few things I was curious about, and it was refreshing, but also a reminder of what to keep eating, what to keep doing, what to let go of, what to be more moderate on. And so I'll provide a link to it on today's show notes. The book is titled How to Not Die by Dr. Michael Greger. So anyway, I'll provide a link on today's show notes if you're curious about that. But the whole idea is every day be thinking, okay, what am I putting into my body? How am I helping myself out? And everything's in moderation. Don't, you know, we can always go overboard, but the idea is just to be conscious and to making the right decisions that will ultimately help us live our best life. Number four is to nurture cherished relationships. The importance of a healthy social network is crucial for enjoying the everydays and for weathering the unexpected bumps along the way. The network is multifaceted as it begins with the relationship we have with ourselves, which we will talk about next in number 5, but nurturing our friendships and romantic partnerships with little thoughtful gestures or how we speak or what we say or how we prioritize and celebrate throughout the year adds up to a strong web of love and support. And that comes with the everyday things, not just the big birthday celebration, not just the anniversary celebration. It's the little everyday thoughtful gestures. And they don't have to be over the top. It really is, how do you treat people? How are you behaving around them? How do you engage with them? So number 4 is nurture cherished relationships. And number 5 is, as I said, talking about you. Take care of you. Perhaps this one should have preceded number 4, because much like the oxygen mask analogy, we must take care of ourselves, listen to what we need, and heed our mind and body's request before we can give our time and selves to to others that we love. As much as routines are helpful, sometimes we need a break or a day to rejuvenate at a time when we could not have predicted or planned for it. We need to listen to these callings and grant ourselves the time to step back without wandering into the dark druthers of guilt. If you are in tune with your body, if you are in tune with you, you will know what you need to do. Trust that. Trust that. So number 5 is take care of you. Number 6 is quality thoughts. Every day, be aware of your thoughts, be conscious, much like a well-kept home. If you have too many chairs, too many clothes, too many anything, it can lead to clutter and thus leave you with a home that is no longer a sanctuary, but rather a hazard to your peace of mind. We must eliminate the trash. We must condense the unnecessary that is not beneficial. And we must curate a home that feeds us well, restores us, and returns us to our best selves. The same is true for our mind. We must toss the trash immediately. We must not gobble up more and more worries and thoughts that will hold us back, but instead be selective and particular about what we choose to think about and engage in. When we become the master of our minds, much like becoming the master of our domain, we establish a solid platform, a foundation, if you will, that will allow us to springboard successfully wherever we wish to go. So number 6 is have quality thoughts. Number 7 is just give. Give how you can and when you can. Altruism and generosity without the expectation of something in return is a magnificent act to practice. The key is to know your boundaries and your limitations. Don't let others set those for you. You know what you can do. You know how much money you can invest. You know how much time you can give. You know how much energy you have to expend. Give when you can, when you can, to the point where you are still able to live your life well. So it is a balance. But as you probably know, when you give, it's an amazing feeling. And it's not necessarily about someone knowing you have given. It's just knowing that you've done something beyond yourself and what you can offer. I think that's huge. When you have gifts within you to share, that's exciting that you're able to do that, to know you're able to do that. So number 7 is to give. Number 8 is to sleep well. A key component to living healthy is experiencing a deep, full sleep each night. It is crucial for our overall everyday contentment. As I discussed last year, I'll include a show note, a link to this particular post. Creating an evening ritual that indicates to your mind that you are unwinding is a wonderful way to look forward to going to sleep at what may seem like a bit too early of an hour, especially if you have to get up early most mornings. There are so many benefits to getting a good night's sleep, and I'll provide a link to that particular post that has a list of all the benefits of a good, restful night's sleep. So number 8 is sleep well. All right, we have 7 more everyday habits to get to, but I'm going to give you a 1-minute break, and I will see you on the other side. welcome back. All right. We have seven more everyday habits to get to, things that we need to engage in and be conscious of as we go about our everyday lives so that we don't get in our own way when it comes to being content, because we can be content every single day, no matter what happens. It's all about how we handle it. All right, number nine is to spend time with nature. One of the most significant improvements to my everyday life upon moving to Bend has been the daily engagement with the outdoors. What I realized subconsciously was that the outdoors was an elixir to a mind that would sometimes travel down the rabbit hole to odd negative places. And to be honest with you, I did not really realize when I was a child, when I was growing up, because my parents live out in the country and we have a large expanse of land where we can just wander with the animals and be amongst the trees. And it's a beautiful natural respite. And as a child, as we do so many things, we often don't realize what is bringing us peace and contentment. But had to get away from that, because you have to go to college, you have to go live your own life. And obviously not having the means to live out in the beautiful countryside, I haven't really been in a place where nature was literally at my back door. And what I've noticed is that when I get outside, I don't think about the past. I don't really think about the future too much, unless I'm coming up with ideas. I am fully present and just in awe and enjoying and letting my mind stay right there. And I have found that my mind, this is exactly what happened when I was younger. This is a part of the puzzle piece that I have been looking for, and I have finally found it. And I feel fortunate to live in a place that offers this. But that's what works for me. Nature for someone else may simply be stepping outside and feeling the rain on your face as you walk down the sidewalk to the cafe, taking a breath of fresh air, or having lunch on the terrace at your favorite restaurant. Whatever it is, there is power in nature. There is power in nature because it really puts us in the present moment. It reminds us of what is going on right now. And we don't necessarily get in our way. Our own way. We can be more appreciative of all that's going on around us. So number nine is try to find time every day, no matter how little, to spend time with nature. It may be even simply bringing nature into your house. It's winter after all. In some places, still a lot of snow coming down. Bring nature into your house. That's a great idea as well. So number nine is spend time with nature. Oh, when you go outside though, put on the sunscreen. I have a link to some wonderful sunscreen that I highly recommend. I'll be talking about it in future podcasts, but that's key. Get outside, but take care of your skin. Take care of your health. Remember, every day, take care of your health. Number 10, moving on. Understand new things will be hard initially, but it will get easier with time. First of all, make the decision to choose to try new things and then be firm with yourself to stick with it, as initially anything new is going to be hard. And so long as you truly want something or want to learn something, whether it's a new language, a new skill, an improved social life, a better job, increase savings in your retirement account, don't let the first stage of struggle deter you. It's going to happen. It will happen. It will be hard. But it will pass so long as you don't stop trying. And those are with little things and big things. Little things and big things. Here's a silly example, but just to drive the point home. My hairstylist was teaching me a new way to blow out my hair. And I blow out my hair every day. I'm like, oh, I got this. But she was doing it differently and I liked it. I'm like, okay, I can try this. But it meant that I had to use my hands differently. And as I am not ambidextrous, it was a challenge. But you know what? About a month or two in, I figured it out and it's becoming natural to me. It just takes time. I tell you what, the first few weeks, it was dropping the brush on the ground. It was hilariously funny looking back on it. So that's just a small, simple, everyday example. But the idea is initially, the first time you try anything new, no matter what it is, it's going to be hard. You have to retrain your brain, but you can do it. You can do it. So number 10 is understand new things will be hard initially, but it will get easier with time. Number 11 is to lean into your feelings. I mentioned a few weeks ago in the weekly newsletter that's sent out to subscribers that one tool I have begun to utilize and see great benefit from was leaning in and experiencing my emotions, especially those emotions that made me uncomfortable. What do I mean by examining? Well, simply taking out your journal, for example, and in that moment, labeling specifically the emotion you are feeling and why you are feeling it. You don't have to provide a solution. You don't have to even give it value. In fact, you shouldn't give it value. But instead, come to understand yourself better by doing this. Sometimes we don't know why we're feeling a certain way because we're afraid to look at it square in the face. But what I've found is that by doing this, by practicing leaning into and examining my emotions, I can then move through the emotion and it doesn't slow me down or hold as much power as I had given it previously. It's very much like the Wizard of Oz. Once you look behind the curtain, you realize it was more of an illusion than reality. I kid you not. Lean in, examine, and you'll set yourself free. So number 11 is lean into your feelings, your emotions. Number 12 is follow the teachings of Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements. I could have listed all four of them out here and digested each of them, but I already did that in a post a couple years ago, and I'll provide a link to that on today's show notes. But 3 years ago, in a post called How to Set Yourself Free, I examined the four agreements that are ubiquitously discussed on the internet and thankfully shared by now best-selling author Miguel Ruiz. Each day, we have so much power over the quality of our day based on the choices we make. And here we go. Here they are. By simply, number one, doing your best. Number two, being impeccable with your word. Number three, not making assumptions. And number four, not taking anything personally. The tone we set for our day, the thoughts we allow to build in our minds, the relationships we cultivate, as well as the progress we make toward our desired goals will be greatly improved. And I'll provide a link to his book on today's show notes. The Four Agreements, highly, highly recommend you read it. It's a simple, short book, but quite enlightening. So number 12, follow the teachings of the Four Agreements. And number 13, compete only with whom you were yesterday. 4 years ago, I wrote a post about the idea of why not compete only with yourself. And last year, I had the opportunity to share its message with my former students at the National Honor Society yearly induction ceremony. And while it is a lesson that is worthwhile for teenagers, it is an equally valuable reminder in our everyday lives, no matter what our ages are. With the vast amount of reality television shows depicting grand lives and expenses, as well as incessant competition with sports and competitions in the arts with award shows, it might seem to an outsider that winning is the ultimate feat to accomplish. When in reality, we will find peace with our everydays when we know we did or were a little bit better than we were yesterday. And guess who will be the judge of that? Only you. Only you will know. There will not be a roaring crowd standing in ovation when you limit your negative thinking or skyrocketing ratings when the comments you share with others are positive and insightful rather than negative and critical. No one will know but you. And that is why you must find peace with who you are. You must become self-actualized, and that will be a tremendous success that you can revel in and practice each and every day. I'm going to provide a link to the post that I wrote a handful of years ago about not competing with yourself, but I'm also going to share with you the podcast from last year about how to become self-actualized and what it really means. It comes from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's the top of the triangle, but it's worth understanding when it comes to living an everyday that is full of contentment. So I'll provide a link to that on today's show notes under number 13. All right. So number 13 is compete only with whom you were yesterday. Number 14, remain curious. The curiosity you have within you is in many ways the mentor trying to lead you along a path that will excite not only your mind, but your inner being. It will lead you to discover your deeper nature if you haven't already tapped into that. The key is to not let your curiosity be squelched because it may be at times at odds with those around you or the community you live in. Who cares? So long as you aren't harming anyone or anything, you can only be helping yourself and potentially others with what you discover. Have fun. Be a kid again and lose all track of time. So number 14, remain curious. Last but not least, number 15, invest in a way of life rather than things. Yes, we need a roof over our heads. Yes, we need plates and dishes to put the food on that we eat each day. And yes, we need clothes and shoes. I mean, here on this blog, this podcast, I talk about or share ideas for capsule wardrobe. I share finds for the decor for your house. I share things you can buy. But much like the exhilarating high that is experienced once in a great while with life's grand moments that we strive for after sometimes years of dedication, the shine and the newness of the new pair of Manolos will wear off as well. The key is to know why you are buying what you're buying. Is there a function? Is there a purpose? And not just, I feel bad today. I think we are all aware that emotional buying is not a good thing. It's sometimes hard to stop it, but simply to know, to be aware of it is going to help solve that problem. The purchases that are thoughtfully planned and considered will not leave you with regret, but instead a happy everyday life. Because the budget will stay on track, your life will be more enjoyable, and it will enhance the overall quality of your life. For example, a bouquet of flowers to begin the week. Go for it. If it's in your budget, go for it. Another beautiful vase that will sit on the shelf and rarely be used. Perhaps just appreciate its beauty and move on. Your decisions of what to buy and what to walk past will be unique to you, but try to be honest. As honest as possible with yourself. Why am I buying this? Is it a quick pick-me-up because I don't want to do the homework of becoming self-actualized? Or do I need these new pair of Nikes so that I can get outside and enjoy the beauty just outside my front door? You know the answer. So be honest with yourself. What will it add to my life beyond the honeymoon phase? Once that honeymoon phase is over, will I still be glad that this is in my life? So number 15 is invest in a way of life rather than things. Annie Dillard reminds us in her book, The Writing Life, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. Living a simply luxurious life is all about the everyday approach to life. And while we can work our tails off for the goals we seek, if we are not enjoying the journey, we need to adjust something. Now, I'm not saying you're going to enjoy every moment of the journey. There's going to be some obstacles. You're going to have to solve problems. You're going to have to navigate things. You're going to get setbacks. But it's all about your approach. It's all about your approach and understanding. So, for example, if I have doubts, why am I having doubts? Well, probably if you have been in tune with yourself up until this point, it's probably because you're going in the right direction. You're going to have to readjust or learn something new to get around that obstacle. I will admit honestly that I have, and I mentioned this earlier in the episode, I've been trying to figure out the how of that particular question, how to enjoy the everydays, all of my late teen and adult life. And what I unearth is shared with you here on the Simple Sophisticate and on the Simply Luxurious Life blog. I adore the everydays that life offers us each time we rise in the morning. I also know that each day will not be glorious and memorable, as we seem to expect them to be, because that is what the media reveals to keep us intrigued, to keep us hooked. But what if it could be? What if it's all about how we choose to live the everydays and what our expectations are? If my experience so far has taught me anything, it is my assumptions of what should be that have led me astray. Back to the discussion of doubt, we must have a mastery of the uncomfortable emotions to master life itself. And the funny thing with labeling emotions is sometimes we misunderstand what life is trying to reveal to us. Follow your doubts, dive deep, and perhaps your doubts are telling you what is worth pursuing. And if that is the case, you are traveling down the right road. So keep rolling on. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I know it has been a huge relief to me to really nail down what to do every day. As I am someone who's very list oriented, this is helpful to me. And I know it's not a specific what to do list because everyone's going to do this differently. Everyone has different lives. But I think to just know how to combat those emotions that we're not comfortable with, how to combat those days that it's just not going real well. Well, what can we do? What do we have control over? And when we understand and recognize that, I think we'll see a vast improvement in every single day of our life, whether we are celebrating or not. It will be an enjoyment to live our days. We'll be thankful that we have the opportunity to do so. I'll provide a link, a list of all the show note links that I mentioned, to the books, to the past posts. The link is thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast93 if you're interested in any of that. And now I have a simple little accessory in my life that I think you might enjoy in this week's Petit Plaisir. Stay tuned. I'll be back in just a few. This week's Petit Plaisir is simply a tray. If you follow me on Instagram at all, in fact, yesterday morning I shared a pic of this round woven serving tray that I use to serve my breakfast on. And there's something about being able to put everything that I want to enjoy a moment in the morning on in one tray and be able to carry it simply to wherever I'm going. It keeps it organized, but it also sets a mood, sets a tone. It really focuses the attention. Things aren't spread out all over the place. And it's also quite decorative when you're not using it. So it's very simple. But it's the idea of presentation, but also simplicity, I guess you could say. One of my favorite things to do, and I usually use mine in the morning, but you can use it any time of day, is every Sunday morning to walk to the bakery to get my croissant and then heat up hot water for my tea and have all my Sunday newspapers all piled up ready to go. I love that. That is something I look forward to. And the tray just really makes it official, makes it more formal. It's a ritual. It's something that it's special. And again, it's just the presentation of it all. It sets the tone. Anyway, I found my basket, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, a handful of years ago, but it was at Rejuvenation Hardware in Portland. They actually were having a sale and I was like, oh, I don't know where I'm going to put this in the house, but this is fantastic. It's so simple and so classic. So that particular basket is not available. At least I have looked, I can't find it, but I have went online and shopped for you. And I found a handful of different round, woven baskets. One's from Pottery Barn, one's from Crate and Barrel, one's from Who's, all at different price points, and I've put them on today's show notes. You can absolutely use them for decorative purposes, put them on a coffee table, putting them in the middle of a dining room table, underneath, on the first shelf of a coffee table if it has shelving underneath. It's really up to you. They're very versatile, and they're often not that expensive. I think I paid $20 for mine because it was on sale. They can go as high as $89, as there'll be one on today's show notes, but the others are under $40. And I think if you're looking for a simple little way to structure a ritual in the morning, afternoon tea maybe, or evening with your whatever you sip on in the evening to kind of set that tone for relaxing before you slip into bed and have a restful night's sleep, this might be a simple touch to add to your everyday, as we talked about in today's episode. Again, if you're looking for the links, go to thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast93. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or maybe music, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.